Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Business Disruption. Michael, why don't you get us started?
Jake, I have a question for you. What does it mean to be disruptive in business? I keep hearing this term and I need you to answer it for me.
Awesome. Love to. So my name is Jake Clendenning. For those of you that haven't been with us before, I operate a company called CT Impact. I'm also an Achieve Alpha leader. Being disruptive in business to me means doing things I'm uncomfortable doing that I wouldn't normally be doing on a daily basis. So say I need to make 10 sales calls in an average day. I can do that in my sleep anytime. What I should be doing to be disruptive is I should be having 10 sales meetings per day. I should be making like 100 phone calls. The other thing that I would tell you what being disruptive to me means is build things that I need. Go find the resources and leverage resources. Make sure I'm in business with the right people. Because if they're not pushing me forward, they're pulling me backwards. So that's what I would tell you. Michael, what does it mean to you?
Well, as the president of Achieve Systems, a very large coaching company, I hear this question a lot about people that can't achieve this disruption. And I feel like it's twofold. Sometimes, as a solopreneur or an entrepreneur, or even a person that's leading a company, you have to be disruptive to the organization. If that organization is you, sometimes you have to disrupt your own thought process by taking a look and radically changing the way you're approaching your day-to-day activity, whether it's, hey, I'm depressed this week, I need to get out of bed, or it's, hey, I'm not having enough revenue, or hey, I'm overworking. Disruption works in both ways. It doesn't always have to be, hey, everything's going perfect, I need to ramp it up. Sometimes it's everything's going and I need to shake it up a little bit because I'm getting complacent. To me, that's what disruption really means. It's that element of change, but it's an element of change in a like a radical way. That moment in time where you make that shift and say, "Wow, I'm doing something different, and I am radically disrupting," not to overuse the word, radically disrupting the way that I'm thinking and feeling. How does that resonate, Jake?
I love the way that you just referenced, it's a point in space and you make a point, it's change. We know so many people have problem with change because it gets them out of their comfort zone. So that's what I would probably tell you is if you're in your comfort zone, yeah, this is really comfortable. It feels good. I'm just kind of in the group. You're not being disruptive. That should be a clear indicator to you based on what you said about change. I love that, man.
Well, and it doesn't take anything but an internal decision to create disruption or to create change. I feel like you and I should start maybe giving people a couple of ideas and what it means to be disruptive. So if you look at the cell phone industry, Steve Jobs was absolutely disruptive. He invented the cell phone, kind of, right? Like, and revolutionized the smartphone as we know it. I don't mean he invented the cell phone, but he invented the modern version of what everyone's using. That is disruptive. Now, let's think about Jobs's mindset for a second there. This wasn't his first go-round. He was being disruptive time after time after time. This was just another iteration of what he was already doing. I'll give you another example, Jeff Bezos. He disrupted the logistics industry. Essentially, okay, we'll call Amazon a mail order business company, but it's really a logistics company. I mean, think about all the moving parts that have to go into getting you what you want. You push the button, you have the app, you push the button, travels through space, sends several signals to multiple entities that work together, and all of a sudden, in a prescribed amount of time after the button pushes, the thing shows up on your door. And then if you don't want it, it's got to go back. So those are two people that really did mega disruption. Do you have any examples of minor disruption? Like maybe some coaching clients of yours that you can remain anonymous and you can just share to like the solopreneur or somebody that might be tuning in here for a little bit of help from the two of us?
Yeah, I mean, it's so easy to go back and look for major disruptors. Super easy. I mean, historically, you can go back to Henry Ford and go to Napoleon Hill. And you made a great point of saying was disruptive again and again and again, and then something hit. And then something hit. It was the have to do it time on task over time. When I think about modern, who's turned into a mega. There's a real estate company that has the only billionaire in real estate in that particular company. He started out being disruptive simply by changing his name. He answered the phone a very specific way in the beginning. I'm going to give you this one. Everybody knows who it is. It's Gary Keller. He would answer the phone when he was a solo agent. He would answer the phone. Good morning. It says Keller Williams International. He started with a mindset so far ahead of where he was being disruptive in that moment simply with it answering the phone. So being disruptive is not massive action all the time. We talk about this in my coaching company all the time. It is typically the very small incremental actions on a day-to-day basis in your business that make the biggest impact and have the biggest disruption on your business moving forward. Simple stuff. You've probably read Miracle Morning, right? You've probably read that book, Miracle Morning.
Yes, I have actually.
It's a great book. That one has some radical concepts in it, though they are very simple. They start out with getting up in the morning, being very disruptive from a mindset perspective, could be nothing more than doing a gratitude list very first thing in the morning. Changes the way you exist. One of the things we start, and it drives my clients nuts, but I make them do it all the time. Every phone call, we start the same way. And I ask the same question. I say, Michael, what are you grateful for today? And there's two reasons for it. The first is you cannot be growly and grateful in the same space. It's not possible in your mindset. So this is just getting yourself prepared to have a great call, to make impact, to be disruptive on your call. The other reason is it's a litmus test, because the more I ask that same question week after week after week after week with my clients, I now know when they're not correct, when they're if, because most people are going to, I'll say, hey, Michael, what are you grateful for? And they're going, oh yeah, I'm grateful for my family. That's fantastic. The next week I'll say, what are you grateful for? And you'll see their head drop and you'll see their, man, I gotta think about that. I know there's something we need to unpack. So being disruptive on those coaching calls is just emotional intelligence. It's something small, but it has a huge impact on the backside of that. So what's something every day? So let's play that game out. What's something you do that you think is small in your world, as successful as you are, that would be wildly disruptive if somebody else were to bring it into their life as a habit?
Being obsessive about time, literally
about time.
Constantly creating an artificial sense of urgency. I'll give you an example. If I'm in a meeting with somebody and I'm physically in front of them and it's time for me to go and they want to extend the meeting and I need to politely be somewhere else, I'll start doing this, right? Like I will lean away from them. I am so obsessed with time and moving into the next thing. Now, that might seem illogical to a lot of people, but when we talk about disruption, we talk about massive mini action is me going, if I'm not obsessive about time, I have a tendency to be very, very, and a very experiential person. Okay. I would rather be like outside right now, walking around on a mountain bike or on the back of a horse or in the middle of the ocean surfing right now. You know, I'm that guy. I like to live in the space of, I want to feel the adrenaline. I want to hit it. I want to just get it going. There's a time and a place for that, but being a mature adult, knowing that that's my mindset, I need to disrupt that by being obsessed with time, because unfortunately I'm not Kelly Slater. I'm not a professional surfer. I'm not Laird Hamilton. You know, I don't live in Hawaii. The nearest body of water is an overflown creek from the rain we got the other day. Okay. So there's none of that happening. I've got to legitimately be involved in coaching, broadcasting, you name it. But for me, being obsessed with time. Now, what does that also say? If you start to become obsessed with time and you realize, wow, I'm spending a lot of it not in the correct areas, there's a co-benefit to that. So being obsessed with time also means you can step away from your schedule and be okay with that. And say, this is my time. I am not going to answer the phone. I am not going to take a call. I'm not going to return a text. This is my time.
Yeah.
So that's one small, I know that seems like a big, the other one is being obsessed with food. What? Food?
Right?
Yes. Energy, food's a lifeblood of energy, right? If you don't get calories, you can't live. The kind of calories that you intake, when and where and why and how, for different reasons, have a big impact on the mind, the body, the essence, the focus. And I'm another person that loves to eat, and I like to eat junk. I know I came from the health and fitness background space, but man, I could sit down and eat just about anything and be okay with it. And I don't know that I should be admitting that, but I don't mind admitting it to you, Jake. No, nobody's watching anyway. So
everybody's watching.
I know. Right. So again, being not obsessed, right? Not to the point where I need medical help, but being routinely focused on disrupting my normal thought process helps me stay on track and creating a new normal that I know leaves me overall in a happier place and avoids a pitfall that I've got to now work myself out of, which starts to become into the mode of productivity and working on, I don't know if you've ever been here, Jake, but doing the self-sabotage routine where it feels better to work your way out of a hole than to build a mountain on top of a stable surface, right? So I think as entrepreneurs and solopreneurs and company owners, those folks, some of us feel better when we're working our way out of the pits and we don't have any money, we don't have any clients. It feels great to go out and get. But what happens when we've got the stability and now we're trying to build that mountain? You know I kind of segued there, but those are two things that I disrupt personally for myself if I've got to be a little vulnerable and not mind sharing.
I love that.
While we're on that, and I know we're a little short on time, but while we're on that, do you care to touch on that? Because picking you're having you in front of me on this one, you could actually probably coach me up a little bit. What is that really called when you're always working out of that self-sabotage deficit, like a lot of us get? Like we get to that complacent stage. Like, do you have any tips for anybody that's there or me personally? Sorry to use you in this forum.
The reality is that
you're here and I need
you. It's conventional familiarity. That is conventional familiarity. So it sounds like a bunch of big words. It sounds really cool. And it is, think about the people that are mentors and role models for you, where you came from in your world. And this is where most of us feel comfortable and familiar in that space, because our family had to dig out of that hole. We know people that were digging, like we're grinders, we're digging there. So there's that conventional familiarity.
That's a good one. I'm using that.
It feels like it should be. And they don't know what it truly feels like to go, man, I'm solid. I'm a solid foundation and I'm building from there. There's I don't know if you've ever read anything by Dr. Elko. He talks about choose your hard. So this is one of these. I love this. I love this book. You guys get a chance to read it. It's called Choose Your Heart. The concept is this: being broke is hard. Being wealthy is hard. Being healthy is hard. Being sick is hard. Choose your heart. Either one is going to be, you have to make the decision where you're going to be. So with that conventional familiarity, you're choosing this level of hard, this dig out of the hole, climb the ladder, climb the stairs, crawl up the hill. You can also choose build the mountain. It is a decision that we make. And the easiest way to make that decision, get around other people that are doing the thing that you want to do. You want to run a marathon? You need to get around 5 marathon runners and you will run a marathon. You will finish it, not just run in it. You want to be a professional bodybuilder? You go work out with professional bodybuilders. You want to be a millionaire? Get in relationships with billionaires, because they will pull you up the hill. Like, this is something I coach on all the time, is just making sure you're in the right relationships. That's being disruptive. You can say, oh, well, you know, my family, and this is where I come from, and the family curse, and blah, 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 blah. It's all baloney. It's all crap. That is you're choosing to be in the wrong relationship. So this is where I would tell you, if you feel like you're digging out of the holes because you're in relationship with a bunch of other people that are digging out of the hole.
Well, I'll be sure to Venmo you for this coaching. Thank you very much.
Love it, man.
So, you know, I know we're pretty much at the show end here. So what I'd like to say is I'd like to continue this conversation with you, Jake. I think next time that you and I get together, we should expand on associating with a group of people that I'm trying to go back to what you just said about putting yourself in with a group of other successful people. I think if I could pick your brain next time about that, that would be a perfect fit for our audience.
Yeah. And we'll talk about core values. We'll talk about association. We'll talk about how you know they're the right people and not just random. Love that, Mike. That's great stuff.
All right, Jake. Well, thank you. Guys, make sure you stay tuned next time for when we talk about how to be disruptors through using the leveraging groups.
Love it. Thanks for stopping by Business Disruption. Mike, awesome as always. Hope you have an epic day. And everybody like and subscribe to the channel and refer your friends.
Thanks, Jake.